Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Well, what a privilege it is to be here in your congregation, to be invited by your pastor to share in worship and to be the one to bring this good word today. I was last here 16 years ago, at least in this position. I've been back in your church and other times besides that for community meetings and such, but 16 years ago, Zion Lutheran Church, where I served for 37 years, and this congregation entered into a conversation as a part of the national conversation between the Episcopal Church and the Lutheran Church called Call to Common Mission. And that concluded with the ability for us to fully share in the gift of Holy Communion and the Eucharist. It was a great conversation that we had. It was during our Lenten time, just like this, when we gathered together each week and shared what the Eucharist meant to us as Lutherans and as Episcopalians. And at the conclusion of that, we joined together in having a service. And that was the last time that I was here in the pulpit, was for that that wonderful celebration, which I believe it's still your tradition to do an Easter vigil. And for our tradition, that was a new thing for us. And so at approaching midnight on Easter Eve to gather together and share the communion and the good news that, and to hear those words ring out, he is risen indeed. And then you did something I'd never seen. We baptized the Christ candle as a part of that service to inaugurate the lighting of the light for this new year in the Easter tradition. What a great gathering that was, and that has continued on. And the dialogue has meant that we have shared in much ministry over these years. So I'm glad to be back. Let us pray. Gather our hearts now around your word, that our eyes may be open to the wonder of your love, and that we may see visions of your call to bring healing to your world today. Amen. Well, growing up, I never knew anyone who was blind. It wasn't a part of my family or my schoolmates or anything until I was at Zion Church, and there was a blind lady who was a very active member of the congregation there. She had she was as faithful as any other member. She got there, ever how it was. I think we had a church van that would pick her up, but she would always be there. But she had a very special job. Her job was to take the Sunday school papers that would be given out to all the children, and she would organize those so that every child got the right papers. This was our blind lady. But she was able to do that. She had the ability with Braille, so she would make little markings, and somehow that told her what page went where, and she was able to get all of those things done. So I saw someone who was blind, and yet she did so much, not only at our church, but in the community as well. She was a volunteer with the Center for Sight and Hearing and other ways that somehow allowed her to go beyond her blindness, to see things in a way that many of the members of our church could not see them, so that she was able to carry those things out. Well, going on, I had another chance to meet someone who was one of the most extraordinary people that I've ever met. In 1997, I had the opportunity to go to Laos. Well, some of you may know that around Zion Church, we had a lot of Laotians who settled and then became a part of our congregation. Well, one of the things that refugees always want to do is they remember home. And they were going back home and they wanted me to go with them. And I did. I went back to Laos with a group of the Laotians who had come to us as refugees, and now with the war over and things had returned somewhat to normal, they were able to go back to see family and do those things. Well, I went, and one of the people that I met when I was there was a man named Dr. Prophet. Now, that may seem strange to you, and you may think I'm telling you a tale, but it was spelled a little different than the way we spell prophet. It was spelled P-R-A-F-I-X, but it was pronounced prophet. And so I met Dr. Prophet. Dr. Prophet was an eye surgeon, and his place was in Savannakhet, which was a village, bigger than a village, but a city along the Mekong River between Thailand and Laos, and we went to visit there. The reason I tell you about this man is he was a leader of the church there. Now, when I tell you that, you may be surprised, because most of us would know that there aren't many churches in Laos, and for a time, there were none. At the when the communists took over the country in the late 70s, they literally exiled or killed all of the clergy that were in there. And there were many churches there. There were Episcopal churches there as well in that time. But they were all driven out. Well, Dr. Prophet was a member of the church, and he stayed. Well, he stayed, and he helped to be one of the leaders who kept the church alive there. And he really couldn't do much in the open, but he did all that he could to help the church in the villages where he went. Well, I visited Dr. Prophet in his clinic. I want to use the word clinic. You may have visions of the Rockford Memorial, you know, doctor's office clinic that's there, or one of the other clinics in our town with all of its fine medical technology and such. But this was a cement building that was totally open air. It was air conditioned because there were no windows. There were no glass in windows. There were openings through which you could walk up and look into the surgery where he would be doing surgeries. He was an amazing surgeon. He would take care of things right there on a table laying in the middle of the clinic. He would have someone there, and with just his knives, without much of the technology that we have, he would help people to see. Well, he also went out into the villages, and when he would go into the villages, he would do his surgery right in the middle of the village. Now, the village was of houses on stilts above, made out of bamboo and wood usually, and so there would be a gathering of these houses around usually a well, and he would come into the middle of the village, and he would lay someone down right in the middle of the village. He would put two rocks beside their head to hold them in place, and he would do surgery and remove cataracts and such. You know, my wife recently had cataract surgery, and I just can't imagine had somebody, reach down and touch her eyes in that way in the middle of the village. But he did that. Because of that, when they drove out all of the clergy, they also arrested him at different times. But everybody loved him so much that there was always an outcry from the community that prevented them from denying him the ability. They would always admonish him and send him back. Now, you don't talk about that Jesus anymore. And yet he did and continued on. And when I got there, there were at least 14 churches right in his area that were out in the villages that were still going on. Well, I visited one of those churches at in Savannah Kett there. And when I was there, there was the house on stilts, and usually under the house there was a fire going. And that fire was kept for the cooking. And believe it or not, it gets a little cool at times there. So it was some warmth as well. There was a woman who took care of the fire. For me, it's become that symbol out of our scripture that we read today of the man who was blind, and then that he was able to see, and he was cured and healed. Because this woman had been healed by Dr. Prophet. Did you hear that word in the scripture as well? he was healed by this man. And because of that, she dedicated her life to keeping the fire going in the church. I can't think of a symbol of what I think it means to be the church today and what it means to call us to be as we experience those things. It is that call of God for us to keep the fire burning because of what God has done for us in bringing the healing and erasing the blindness of our life. Because of her gratitude for the gift of sight, this woman was mirrored what it is to be the church today. She kept the fire going for the church gatherings and for their meal and their hunger and their needs. When he had said this, he spat on the ground, and he made mud with saliva, and he spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he washed, and he came back able to see. There is so much going on, and I'm glad that you decided, Roger, to read that and share it with. That's a lot of things that were going on, and we could hear it coming from different voices in this scripture lesson that is ours today. That we could discuss it for days to come. Blindness and vision, sin and darkness, the darkness of our world. Where does our vision come from? These are the questions that arise out of this text. What is the blindness of our world, and how does it hold us? But Pastor Andrea, she told me that, you know, folks can only absorb what the seat can endure. So I won't go into all of that because it would take us a long time here. So I'll stick with the simple answer of the man born blind. I don't know if he's a sinner. I don't know if you are. I know that I am, so I can go there. But one thing I do know, and that's what this blind man was able to say. Once I was blind, but now I can see. That's the message of the church. That's the message that we have to share. That's the good news that is ours. I was blind, but now I see. We have been given vision to see the world as God sees the world. To see like God requires radical vision correction. For God doesn't look at the world like we do. God doesn't look at the world like we do. We see it through our own personal lenses, and it's all about how it relates to us. God sees the world as it relates to all of us. As the reading from Samuel tells us, God looks through our heart. God looks at the world through our hearts. We begin by acknowledging our blindness. We move forward, trusting the vision and the truth that God has opened for us. Our community has been opening itself up to new visions these days. Your pastor and I have been a part of this process, which that's been called Transform Rockford. It's a way of seeing our community in new eyes and in new ways. In it, we have to acknowledge the blindness of our past. That's where we begin. As we look at the blindness that we have been held back by, the racism, the intolerance, and the violence that have plagued us. And now together, we seek a new vision, a vision to love and to care for our neighbor in new and radical ways, to break down the barriers of intolerance and racism. So as a part of this, we've been getting together. People have been meeting in neighborhoods and communities across lines. And in fact, a group of all of the pastors in town gathered on the bridge that separates the city in the middle. We gathered out in the middle, and we first of all acknowledged our blindness to one another. And then we made a commitment that we're going to listen to one another. We're going to work with one another. We're going to talk with one another. We're going to build a community that's built on the care and compassion that we can have to understand that this is a community that all of us have to be great, not just some. And all of us work together in this community. We seek a new vision to love and to care for our neighbor, to break down the barriers of intolerance and racism, to see that we have a call, as Paul talked about, a call for us to live in the light, no longer in the darkness, no longer in the blindness, but to live in the light of this new day. This would close with a poem by David White that captures some of these thoughts. That day I saw beneath dark clouds that passing light over the water, and I heard the voice of the world speak out. I knew then, as I had before, life is no passing memory of what has been, nor the remaining pages in a great book waiting to be read. It is the opening of eyes long closed. It is the visitors of far-off things, seen for the silence they hold. It is the heart, after years of secret conversing, speaking out loud in the clear air. It is Moses in the desert, fallen to his knees before the lit bush. It is the man throwing away his shoes as if to enter heaven and finding himself astonished, opened at last, fallen in love with solid ground. I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to walk with Jesus. That's our song. That's our calling. That's where we're going. Amen.